You're listening to the Are We Enlightened Yet podcast, where we demystify the spiritual and wellness worlds and take the pressure off being superhuman to give you full permission to just be a human. Thanks for being here. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe, give us 5 stars and a written review, and share with your friends. Let's get into the episode. Welcome back to Are We Enlightened Yet, where our 2-week hiatus became 3 months. So welcome back to season two, we'll call it.
Finally back for season two.
We'll just call it a season, even though that is absolutely not what this was.
No.
It just was a break that kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But was needed.
Much needed, I think.
Yeah. It was, it's funny because me, that was, like, definitely needed the mental health break, but now I'm like, I don't really want to talk about it, because I'm over it. Yeah. But it was just, needed. I was not in a very good space for, honestly, most of February, March, April, into May.
Like a whole season.
It was, but we're doing better. Yeah. It was like, my nervous system just kind of crashed.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize how much I needed a break too. Like when we stopped recording, I was like, damn, this feels good to just like not have that on the plate right now. Although I love doing this, the break was like, I don't know. It felt good to just like take a step back from it and not have to worry about this.
Yeah. For me, I was just like, fuck, I just don't want to talk anymore. I was so not burnt out from like talking about it, but I think you and I are both people who are so in the work constantly that to then also try to talk about the work while doing the work. And I was dealing with a personal situation that was like really, really heavy on my heart and really challenging to my boundaries and all of that. And then to like have to like come in and talk about the work and trying to be all this person, this person when I was feeling like such a horrible person, which I wasn't, like I needed to do it. It was really important for my well-being to kind of set that boundary and in a way that I've like literally never in my whole life done. So it was like, it was hard to do. And because it was just weird. It was just like, I was feeling like such a horrible person and then having, which like story of my life apparently, but then like to come and have to like talk about stuff.
It's hard to show up when you're in that space.
Yeah, it just felt annoying, to be honest. Not that the podcast felt annoying, but it just like, I was just like, fuck, I'm just sick of all of this.
Well, I think we also put so much pressure on ourselves to like show up every single week and record and like be on our A game, you know? And like for someone, for myself, who it takes a lot of energy to express myself verbally, to show up every week in that space. Yeah. Like, it's a lot. And especially like that on top of going through stuff. Like,
yeah. And for me, I was just like, when we would talk about stuff, I'm like, fuck. I was like, I don't know. Like, I just don't want to do any of this anymore. Again, not the podcast, like, but the work where you're just like, when does this get to stop right now? Like, I just feel terrible. Which is always part of life. That is it. Like, that's kind of what happens, I find. Is you tend to get really fatigued, or like the big life stuff really tests you. And at least for me, like I think that's also where our culture needs to learn when to stop the hustle and realize that, like, you know what, like I have a very limited amount of energy right now. I have a very limited capacity. Where am I giving it? And like, it was actually you that was like, hey, I think we should maybe take a break. If you need a break, let me know. And I was like, no, I do. Like, I really need a break, or else I wouldn't have done it, right? But I would have kept on the same path. And it was like, I said to my therapist, I was like, I'm not dealing with depression, but... And then I realized it was like, it's not that I didn't want to participate in my life anymore. I did. I just didn't want to participate in anybody else's life. I was like, I have room for one human being. And it actually needs to be me right now.
Well, sometimes, yeah, like, you just need to, like, give yourself the space to, like, be in your own shit without, like, putting yourself out there and sharing your journey while in the midst of it. Like, that's such a tough thing tough thing to do. Yeah. So it's like,
yeah, so I needed 3 months.
3 months. Sometimes that's what happens.
We actually haven't really seen each other. We've only seen each other one
time. We've seen each other, yeah, literally once.
Yeah.
Since the last episode. So
yeah.
This is kind of like our own personal catch up with each other.
Like
too.
When I fell off the radar, like I stopped going to
I think there was like 3 weeks to 4 weeks where there was no contact between us.
Yeah.
And like people would ask, like, oh, like, how's Robin? And I'd be like, I have no idea. And they'd be like, oh, like, did something happen between you two? I'm like, no, like, we're just taking our own space right now. Yeah. She's going through shit. I'm kind of going through my own shit. So yeah. Sometimes that just happens for certain friendships. And, like, totally. That space is just, it's yeah. needed.
Yeah. It was really good because I actually just, like, realized, like, I stopped going to literally everything. Like, I didn't give my energy to anybody or anything, which is... For how much I joke about how much I love my sleep, it's actually really hard for me to do. Like, I very much say yes to things out of obligation. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, no, I didn't see anybody. I barely talked to anybody. And again, like, it wasn't depression. Like, I wasn't like, oh my God, I'm so sad or whatever. I was just like, I just have enough energy for me right now. And that's, I'm just gonna do that and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Although, of course, at the time, I didn't know that's what was happening.
Mm.
It just organically was just kind of... You withdraw from things, and then I think you kind of get to a point where you're like, oh, well, I should get out and I should do things because, like, am I self-isolating? Am I being avoidant? Mm. And then I was like, no, I just genuinely don't want to.
Yeah.
And, like, I did a lot of, like, healing work around a certain relationship, but then also just, like, around my ability to, like, choose myself and stand in my ground and own the choice in me, and also, unfortunately, see how, like, easily manipulated I am when it comes to people in need or, like, other people's emotions. Like, I don't think people do it intentionally. But that was actually a really, really hard pill to swallow when mm-hmm. you realize that, like, you have people in your life that, manipulate the goodness in you to their own advantage mm-hmm. and don't actually care about you as a human being. They think they do. They say they do, but they don't actually, because, like, their behavior shows otherwise over and over and over again.
And did you, like, have all this, like, realization kind of during your isolation period?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It took me... I probably didn't start having it until, like, a month or so ago when I realized that, like, everyone always, like, you see these memes on Instagram where it was like, I blocked this person and then they didn't try to contact me 17 different ways, like, and that's so upsetting. But I have had this person find different ways to contact me, and it's actually... sucks. Because you're just having to reinforce a boundary that's, like, already incredibly hard to set, right? So then to have them just, like, clearly not really care.
Like, just outright disrespect it.
Yeah, it's like, they don't really care what you're doing. They need you. And I have never in my life turned my back on somebody. Mm. And although this is obvious, it wasn't me turning my back on them. It was me choosing, like, truly having to be like, I have to choose myself. This isn't healthy anymore. But to, like, constantly have that person be like, I don't really care. I need you. Mm-hmm. And me having to be like, it doesn't matter that you need me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Was, like, not fun. And then, because then I was able to see how much I had been kind of unconsciously. I think it was genuinely unconsciously how used I had been in order for... their well-being.
Was this, like, an ongoing pattern within that relationship?
This is probably our, like, entire relationship when you end up looking back on it, right? Where you see how it all kind of, like, panned out. Mm-hmm. Like, when I look back on the whole thing, I know in the beginning, I was like, oh, I got the fucking love bombed so hard, and it feels so good when it happens because so many of us aren't used to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't take it as a red flag. When
you just feel important,
yeah. When it is, and like, and I participated in this relationship. Obviously, there's two sides to, like, it takes two to tango. Mm-hmm. But, like, at the same time, too, I had also set boundaries multiple times. Been very, very clear about my feelings and all of that. And there is a lot more to the story. And I know that's so annoying when you're being like, you're being really fucking big right now. But there's just a lot to the story. And that was just a lot of, like, what kind of, it was just like one thing after the other kept happening where I was like, oh my, I was like, I upset somebody, something happened, like things were getting blown out of proportion. And I was already struggling so much with feeling like a bad person that like every little thing just felt like amplified to me. And I have such a sensitive nervous system that my nervous system just kind of like got stuck in freeze where it was just like, we just need to protect ourselves right now. And so I just kind of had to listen and follow my gut and be like, actually, I'm just going to trust that this is what I need instead of beating myself up for not socializing or not like,
well, especially like if you have that patterning of just always being there for other people, always choosing others above yourself, like there's so much like power when you do like the opposite of what you normally do and just like choose yourself and like intentionally kind of like flip the script like that. Like there's
it's so powerful, much healing but it's that happens. Also incredibly jarring and incredibly painful to do first.
Because it's so different and so you're like, not used to it.
And I think that's the thing is we're told that it's healing. It's supposed to feel empowering. It's it doesn't. It feels fucking terrible actually when you choose yourself.
The growth pains
like,
are real.
And it's jarring and it's a lot and your nervous system actually likely is not calibrated to that, right? So you're going to have old patterns resurface. You're going to have old coping mechanisms, old thought patterns. You're going to have it all come up and it's going to suck and it's going to hurt. And everyone tries to make it look pretty. Mm. Like they're like, I did this and oh, I'm amazing. No, you feel fucking horrible. It took me 2.5 months to not feel horrible about my decision and be like, oh yeah, I'm so powerful. When really I'm like, I actually feel fucking terrible right now. Mm. This doesn't feel good. Mm. And I think that's like this thing that we get confused in is we see everyone doing it. And we're like, it looks so easy. Why does this feel so terrible? It feels terrible for everyone.
Mm.
It doesn't, like, it, especially if it's not something you're truly used to doing or it's something that affects somebody else's life or anything like that. Like, yes, it's healing, but, like, that healing is in the trenches.
It's tough.
It's not just, like, I'm going to journal a little bit. Like, it's a lot of shit comes up, right? Like, it just, it's impossible not to, right? Because if you've self-abandoned, you're completely changed. Like you said, you're flipping the script. Like, you're doing something and you're going to feel like you're doing something wrong because you've never given yourself permission to do it before, right? So it's like, it was just shitty. It was just not fun. And like, don't get me wrong, I know it was the right decision.
Yeah.
I know I'll be better for it, blah, blah, blah. I know. But it doesn't stop it from fucking sucking.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Like, and it sucks to have a relationship that you really were like hopeful that could be on good terms.
Mm.
Be like, no man, this is how it ended. Because it will never be. It can never be anything after this.
Yeah.
Right?
Have you been in contact with him since?
No. You can hear the chair. She was trying to do it slowly, going off this chair. No, and I never will be.
Yeah.
There's no, like, there isn't a coming back from this.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also what is so hard, right? Like, it's closing a chapter that just didn't, was never supposed to be closed like this.
Yeah.
And if, like, vague story, but if anyone knows the situation, like the whole thing has always been this like not great. So like the lesson's been wonderful, great, wonderful, fantastic, got it. Doesn't matter. Still sucked, but we're here, we're standing. So that's like that's just why I needed the break.
Yeah.
I couldn't
imagine showing up to a podcast to talk about what you're going through while going through like in the fucking trenches.
It was not easy. It's so funny though because it like started before everything kind of happened. It's kind of like my body knew what was happening before the actual actions happened of it and everything. It was a really wild experience. It was interesting, but like So that's boundaries in practice.
Learning to choose yourself. Learning, and having it feel so shitty.
Yeah. And being like, I have to do this again probably in the future with other people.
Yeah.
Fuck. Cool. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit about where my life has been. It was really my nervous system. It was like, it just totally shut down.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're like back and like regulated on a nervous system level now?
Yeah. Yes. Kind of. Because I ended up basically changing my whole life. Which is pretty typical of me when my nervous system is dysregulated. But usually I try to move away. But we can get into that after about like changes and things, like things we've worked on or realized or whatever. Fill everyone in on you, my friend.
All right. So me, I kind of went through like a little minor depression too. Like it lasted only, I want to say like 2 weeks. I never like really understood depression. Like I always just thought of Eeyore, like, you know, like that was my idea of depression. But I had a 2 week period kind of like almost soon after we decided to take the break where I just had no energy, no motivation. It was a struggle to get up and like do schoolwork. And I would just like watch so much Netflix, like just like a lot of like numbing out, distracting myself.
Yep.
And I didn't really like understand it. I didn't know like what it was, but then I was kind of learning about a section on depression in my course, and it just sounded exactly what I was going through. And I was like, oh, this is not Eeyore, but it's like a minor episode of depression. And I just thought you had to be like clinically depressed in order to experience depression. But I was like, no, you can have periods of depression and still like be like a normal human.
I think that's one of the biggest problems with mental health is people think like same with anxiety, you have to be diagnosed with clinical anxiety or whatever anxiety for you to deal with. Anxiety is an emotion. Depression, like, it's
like a feeling state.
This is sidebar, but like the problem with like clinical diagnoses is too is it makes you feel like, oh well, I'm gonna deal with depression for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
instead of like what you just said, well, it was just an episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
exactly.
Maybe you'll probably have more in your lifetime because like it's just
sometimes it happens. Yeah.
It just happens.
Yeah.
Not to minimize depression. That's not what we're saying.
No.
It's just that like you can be a human being
and still just experience depression and not be clinically diagnosed and not be crazy and da 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 da, like all these things. Yeah. So I had like 2 weeks of that and I was kind of just like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to let myself be in this. I'm not going to try to force it away. Yeah. I'm not going to try and gratitude myself out of this. And I kind of just like woke up one morning and I had like more energy and I just like kind of like slowly got back into like the routine of things, and it kind of dissipated as I just focused on my health and like just the simple things like eating more vegetables. Like, it's amazing how much a small difference like that like helps for me. Like, I'm really sensitive to the food I eat, and so if I'm eating like shit, I feel like shit and I'm sluggish and I whatever. So eating better, but getting back in the routine and started feeling more motivated with school. And so then school started actually feeling like exciting again. And then just recently I started this new course where it's like actually where we get to practically apply what we're learning. So it's like I've spent all this time just like in the theory part of my education experience. And now I actually like, now we're doing like mock therapy sessions, and it's like, you actually get to apply all this stuff that's like circulating in her head for the past 20 years. And so it just, it's like, it feels really good to be in a space where I get to like, I don't know, like actually like apply myself, and I feel motivated to actually practice these skills that I'm learning, because I can see like the value of what that practice like does and how it helps my process and like my learning experience. So that's kind of like the school side of things. I don't know, like, this past little bit, I've really just been really focused on my manifestation process. Like, a lot of things actually have been manifesting for me. And I think it's because I've just been like doing things that I don't normally do. Like, usually with my manifestation, I'll spend majority of my time journaling in the planning process, kind of like envisioning it, in the DI, doing meditation work. but not so much like in the physical taking action space or like, yeah. you know, unblocking physically like that.
And for those that don't know what a DI is, it's Lacey Phillips. It's a membership through the Expanded Podcast, Lacey Phillips. I just know that we say it a lot. Yeah. And so if you don't know,
they're like meditations, basically.
Yeah, it's like hypnosis almost.
Yeah. Self-hypnosis. Cool. You guide yourself through like different healings and
yeah, all it's these. Cool. 10 out of 10 recommend.
I highly recommend it. But yeah, so like lately I've actually been like taking like aligned action steps and like, I don't know, like just like spending more time in the physical space. And like, I've still been doing my regular meditations, but I haven't been placing so much focus on them. I've actually been like going out and trying to find like physical expanders, and mm-hmm. expanders are basically people who you connect with who have what you want, and they kind of show you what you want is possible for you. And so I've been like going out and like collecting expanders. I want to say like I'll go out and like find like people who I connect with, and like I've been like physically expanding like my subconscious of like showing myself what's possible. Like I've been talking with like so many like therapists lately, and like
yeah.
people who are like in the field that like doing what I want to do in the future. And a lot of opportunities have kind of come into fruition through that whole process. And these past 2 months have really just been building my trust muscle with the yeah. manifestation process, because little things have been coming through. And just because I think I've just been so A, consistent with the work, and B, stepping out of my comfort zone and right. spending time yeah. in the physical action space, less time in the journal.
Yeah. And I think that's actually what is incredibly important to remember, not even just in manifestation, just in life. It's the action. You can journal until the cows come home,
mm-hmm.
but if you're not putting it into practice, it doesn't fucking matter. And I say that as somebody who like, it takes me a lot of time to like, to get into to build up the courage to do the action steps. But like, it's so important to take action. And like what you're explaining too is like, it's almost like being in the flow. I have like, personally, I started tapping with, a girl named Amber Lynn. If I remember, I will put her stuff in the description, but she's certified in EFT tapping. But anyways, in one of our sessions, she was talking, and it was actually just a good explanation where it's like, there's like talking about the ebb and the flow,
mm-hmm.
and like looking at like the ebb being like the really hard shit, but reminding yourself that like the flow comes, right? Mm-hmm. And like what you're in right now is like the flow where mm-hmm. you're actually like going out and you're seeing it pay off. And then that's motivating.
Yeah.
It motivates you to keep going because you're seeing it. You're talking to people, therapists, right? You're talking to people in the field where you're able to be like, get ideas about like maybe what direction do you want to take yourself in therapy, in psychology and all of that, right? Like you're getting opportunities where you're actually getting to see it. Like that's flow.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're just excited to continue trying new things.
Yeah.
So like even if it's not about manifestation, it's just an exciting space to be in because it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
It feels easy, but then you can sometimes hit that ebb where you just like, it's fucking hard. And like the flow comes back. You just yeah. like you did, you just gave yourself the space to feel and sit in the shit and, mm-hmm. and even numb out to it. Like I think numbing out gets a really bad rap when sometimes it is literally actually what you need to do to let your nervous system settle. 'Cause it's a stress mm-hmm. response, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have to remember like numbing is the freeze response. So your nervous system's activated. It needs love and attention. And sometimes that's not more work.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally fucking stopping, which you just learned.
Yeah.
Right? You totally stopped and were just like, I'm actually just going to let myself do whatever the fuck if that means I'm never getting out of bed and I'm watching Netflix. And now look, you're in a state where you're like, oh, I'm excited. I'm doing mm-hmm. this. Like I'm have more opportunities coming up for work and things like that, right? Like it pays off when we're sitting there being like, I need to do. And then when you finally stop, you realize like, oh, so much more happens when I just like stop fighting myself mm-hmm. and stop forcing myself to work.
Exactly. Like it just showed me like there's like everything else in life, like there's like a natural cycle to your personal evolution. Like there's yeah. the ebb and the flow, the highs and the lows, like there's periods of rest and recovery, and there's periods where there's like action and momentum building
yeah.
and They work with one another. Like, the periods when you're in rest, you gain that perspective, you integrate all the knowledge and the wisdom that you've learned in that previous action cycle, and it's preparing you for the next cycle. And then when that next cycle comes, you have the energy necessary to do what is needed to, like, build that momentum again and get you to the next level and up level. I like to think about it like, if you have, like, this piano in front of you, and it has all the different I'm so bad at music theory, but, like, chords,
and then they have, like... I work in a music studio, and I'm like, I don't know what those are called, but I believe they're called scales.
Scales, yes. Yeah. Thank you. So they have, like, the different scales, and so when you move up on a scale, you move higher and higher and higher, but then once you reach the end of that scale, you reach the beginning of a new scale, which is at a lower key than the highest one on the previous scale. Right. And so it's, like, you like... I'm sorry if I'm botching this, you guys, but it's like you move up on the scale, you move up in energy, you up level, and then you basically start at the bottom again,
right?
And then you kind of go through that process again. It's just a natural cycle, and it's like learning to kind of work with it and, like, accept yourself where you're at. Like, if you're in a low key right now, like, don't worry, like, just, like, I think you have to have to trust the process a little bit. And totally. That was, like, a big thing that I had, like, to learn.
And we live in hustle. We do. We truly live in a state of hustle culture where it's, like, stop thinking that your rest has to lead to something else.
Yeah.
Like, stop putting the pressure on your rest to equal something. Just let it be fucking rest. Because do you know what it isn't when you're, well, I'll rest and do this because then X, Y, and Z will happen? Well, it's no longer rest.
It happens naturally. You have to trust it. You have to allow yourself to be in that rest period
fully.
And
usually, if you are not good at resting, it doesn't really happen naturally. Your body forces you to do it.
Mm.
Right? Like, it requires you... the universe, whatever, all comes together where you don't have a choice but to fucking stop.
Yeah.
It's like the saying where, like, the body whispers until it becomes a scream. Mm-hmm. It's like that in life too, right? But, like, that, don't think, you literally can't, and I say it because it's backfired on me so many times, you can't rest hoping that it leads to the next step. You just have to rest because you need it.
For the sake of rest.
And let your body be tired or your emotions be tired or whatever it is. Let yourself truly be in that space. And don't worry about when it's going to end, because maybe it's going to last 2 days. Maybe it's going to last a few weeks. Maybe it's going to be 3 months. Maybe it's going to be a year. Who knows? But the pressure we put on ourselves to always be producing something else is ridiculous. Like, I got on a phone call with my friend Maddie, because both of us, it was so interesting. We were in such, like, a... at the time, we didn't really know we were in a similar space, but we're like, oh, like, let's get on the phone, like, let's set goals together, like, let's do X, Y, and Z. And we're like, yeah, like, we're on the same page. Like, we were so excited. And then we literally got on the phone call, and I started sobbing immediately, because I was just like, and I was like, I don't know what's wrong. I can't stop crying. Like, and we just started chatting, and we actually realized that what we both needed was to just slow down and let our emotions catch up and be heard. We didn't need any more goals.
Mm.
We didn't need any more ideas. We didn't need any more things. What we actually just needed was to realize that we didn't need any more of that.
Mm.
But we literally got on that call to set more goals, to do more things, because we didn't feel like we were doing enough, when really it was just like, actually, I just, like, need to admit that I'm really fucking tired right now.
You have to trust your physiology.
Yeah, but we don't, but the thing is we're so busy running from ourselves, half the time we don't even notice it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we don't create the actual space, and most of us don't, to truly feel, we don't even know what we're feeling, because we're so busy running.
Yeah.
We're so busy needing to set more fucking goals and do more things and be more and do all of that, that, like, you don't even realize how tired you are, or not even how tired you are, but how, that you might not be pursuing any passions, you might be hanging out with people that you don't really like, you might be giving all your energy out to other people, you might be doing things that you just do because you're used to it, or it's part of your routine, but you actually hate it, and you no longer enjoy it, because we're just so busy running, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, so many people I know do so many things that I'm like, you actually, like, hate doing that, why do you do that? And it's just like, well, I have to. And it's like,
I think that the key thing is, like, maybe not so much just the running on its own, but, like, the running towards, like, the wrong things that aren't fulfilling us. Like, I feel like if you're in a space where you are actually, like, enjoying the work that you do, and you want to get up and, like, hustle every day and that's what like motivates you. Because there's some people who are
but
like,
that's not running then.
Well, yeah, I right? know, but like there's, yeah, there's they're running for the sake of running, but then there's the running because you feel passionate.
Yeah, like, and when I think it's important to make that though, distinction. Like, I say running, like, you're running away from yourself. Okay. Right? Like, you're too busy. Like, I think I see a lot of people where we're staying busy because we think busy equals worthy. That you have to be productive. You have to set goals. You have to do this. And, like, so that you're constantly running away from yourself because you're really scared to just be with yourself and realize, like, maybe I actually have no idea what I fucking want. Or maybe I just actually want to live my life and that's my goal. I don't have a career goal. I don't have a big goal to be an entrepreneur. I don't have that, right? Because like you look and it's all around us. You need to be just doing more. But what if you don't want to do more? Right? There's that guilt that comes with that. So then you're just running constantly. No, like, be motivated. Crush goals. Like, if that is actually what drives you, 100% support that. Like,
yeah.
And like, there are people that like thrive on that. But there's a lot of people not thriving right now.
Yeah, I just didn't want people to think, like, we're telling them, like, to force themselves to rest if they're, like, in this, like, constant state of go, go, go. But some people, like, yeah, like we mentioned.
Well, they probably do need rest in that constant
state. Of course, everyone needs rest. But, like, some people, like a good chunk of the population just really thrive in that high-paced
environment. I think I do disagree that people actually thrive in that. I think, like, literally when I think about, like, adrenals, hormonal health, all of that kind of stuff, I don't think people are thriving as much as they think they are. Because really, you think about, like, how much the world uses stimulation, how much we actually, all of us do numb out. It's like, I think people, everybody could benefit from slowing down. I don't think slowing down means you have to stop pursuing goals. I think you can absolutely crush it, work hard, all of that kind of stuff. But I do think the entire world would benefit from just like slowing down like a little bit just and like bit, just like resting a touch. Like 5 hours of sleep, it's not enough. Scientifically proven, not enough sleep, friends. You need more than that. And when people are like, no, I do great on that, you don't actually. You just don't know what it's like to be rested. So,
okay.
Like, yeah. And I only say that because I know a lot of people in that, like, really high-paced, like, world. And I'm like, you're actually doing terribly. Like, just their, like, health, all of it. You just see it kind of, like, crumbling. So I do understand that, like, people do thrive in that. But, like, I think those people, the people that truly thrive have actually found the space where they know where to, like, take their foot off the gas.
Where they have found that balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know so many people that have not learned to take their foot off the gas. Then it's hard to know too, like, are you really doing things that light you up? Or are you just like doing things that think light you up because like it gets you some type of like validation because it fits the mold of like how life is supposed to go?
Yeah, right. I think that's like where like the importance of just like mindfulness comes in, and like being able to like live in your everyday life, being mindful of how your nervous system is reacting, how your emotions are, like how you're like mentally doing with everything. Like, let's say you're going through your day and you're really enjoying your work, like you actually feel fulfilled by your relationships and all this stuff. Like maybe that sector is good, but then you go home and you're in a relationship where you feel drained and you don't feel unheard and you just like are constantly seeking like validation from them. You're not getting it. Like, it's like you have to tune into how you feel in each thing to see if it's serving you or not. If it's like something that's in alignment, like your physiology, your nervous system will tell you, like our bodies are our biggest clue as to like if we're in alignment or not.
Yeah. But that's where we also can like not even like where it's like, oh, suddenly you've spent an hour on Instagram. Suddenly, you know, like that's where that's like that constant busy state. Cause it's like, okay, am I busy? Like, is there something I'm avoiding right now? You know, like, cause I find like I'll be like, suddenly I'm like, I have clocked in a lot of time on my phone. What am I actually? Because like, there's a difference if I want to numb out, or not even numb out, but if I want to like, just like truly relax, like I'll read. But I know I'm numbing out if I choose to go on my phone over reading. So, like, that's my cue, but that's taken me years to figure out where I'm like, okay, like, what am I not wanting to look at right now? So I think, too, it's like, and I think I just, because I'm somebody who struggles so much to check in with my body and to connect to that, like, it is a skill. Like, so if you're sitting there not even knowing, like, it is a, and it starts with, like, journaling.
It's a skill of just building the awareness.
Yeah, or just being, like, taking a literal minute to focus on your breathing, or just to not have noise going on constantly, to not be, you know, just, it's genuinely such baby steps, because, like, we just have filled our days with so much stuff, thinking that that's what equals a fulfilled life. And, like, and I say it, and I'm probably feeling so passionate about it right now, because, like, I literally cut out, oh my God, like, everything, it feels like. Like, I haven't been to the gym since March. That being said, I've, like, prioritized movement still, but I realized that, like, I was in a space that, like, I wasn't enjoying when I went to the gym. I was going to the gym because it was a control mechanism for me, right? Same with meal prepping. I completely stopped meal prepping because I realized that I was like, I don't actually enjoy meal prepping. It gives me anxiety. All I think about is like, well, when can I get groceries? When am I going to do this? I have to do this. Like, I have to, I was like stressing out about like this like rigid cycle of like keeping my house clean and like laundry and all of that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh man, what if I literally just stop all of it? And then I did. And that, of course, threw off my nervous system, because like those were actually my safety mechanisms for keep feeling like I was staying in control of my emotions, staying in control of my life. Like, all of those things that we've been told are healthy tools, that you're actually, if you don't do it, it's that you're lazy, you're all of those things. All of those tools that were actually such a good thing were keeping me so out of check with myself, because I was constantly busy. I was constantly having to do something, pursue something, control my body, control things that I like literally... And, like, I'm an in-tune person, and I didn't know. I didn't even know, right? And then it's, like, I got rid of all of it and was, like, okay, each day it was, like, I'm only going to do it if I want to do it. And because then you think, too, you're, like, well, I'm going to eat, like, shit for the rest of my life. And I'm never going to work out, and I'm never going to do all those things. And then that's not true.
I was going to ask, how is your life now without those things?
Great. I do my dishes. I make healthy meals. I meal prep certain things if I know I'm going to have a busy week. I move my body every day because I like it. I enjoy it, but it just looks different every day, right? Like, it's just, I've actually, and if it's not going to bring me joy, I don't do it. And I know that people are like, well, the dishes never bring me joy. But you get to a point where you realize, like, oh, I'm just going to go do the dishes. But when you're, like, constantly putting the pressure on yourself, like, I have to have a clean kitchen. I have to do all of this. Oh, my God. Like, the resistance that's there. But you have to realize that, like, you're going to still take care of yourself. Do you know what I mean? But when you give your space to, like, not be like, I have to do it because I have to have this, and if I don't, my world's falling apart. Like, there's no trust there, right? Like, I know I'm going to move my body. It's just going to look different, and I'm going to trust that that's enough. I know that I'm going to eat food, and I'm likely going to eat healthy because that's important to me. But I was not eating healthy because I was so resistant to the meal prepping. Like, I was just like, I didn't want anything. I ate literally bowls and bowls and bowls and bowls and bowls and bowls of cereal. Like, I'm talking 4 boxes, like, within 5 days for, like, 2 months. Because I had just, the pendulum swings so hard the other way when you're keeping control so hard, like, so much in one way. So, like, I know that panic where you're just like, well, no, if I stop doing this, I'm never going to go back to the gym. No, I know I will go back to the gym one day because I enjoy it. But right now, I literally can't bring myself to do it. So I'm just like, okay, well, like, obviously it's not in alignment right now. But, like, I had to make an active decision to stop it all in order to figure out what actually brings me joy.
Like, noticing the disharmony it was causing and then making that shift, kind of shifting your whole relationship around it, and becoming more flexible with how you approach those.
Yeah. And it's not easy because you're told that you're lazy if you don't. Right? You're told that you don't take care of yourself. You're told, like, there's all these, like, things where, like, it's all over the place, and it's like, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. And it's like, so, like, for me, it became such a control piece that, like, you totally don't you stop listening to yourself because you're like, I have to follow this routine. I have to do this. Mm-hmm. And then, like, yeah, I just stopped.
I totally resonate with that because, yeah, I'm the one who's always, like, following these, like, strict to-do lists, like, where my day is planned out to the hour. I follow schedules. I, like, continually do, like, planning things for myself. And most recently, I went camping with my parents, and although it was only 2 days I did this, as soon as I came back, I went straight back to the schedules. But it was 2 days where I didn't write a single to-do list. I didn't, like, schedule my day at all. I just kind of allowed my intuition to guide me. Yeah. And although there was, like, some moments of just, like, oh my god, what should I be doing right now? Like, what is something that, like, my future self would be proud of? Like, you know, like, that goal-oriented thinking that's always, like, dictating how I live my life. I had to, like, really, like, kind of confront that part of me and be like, okay, like, it's fine to take a back seat right now. It's safe for me to ditch all that, right, just for right now, and just kind of live in the moment. And it was honestly, like, really, really freeing, and it just felt good to, like, just live according to, like, my intuition and just follow, like, my impulses in the moment, and not be so concerned about what's the next step, how am I going to spend the next hour, 2 hours, 3 hours of my day. So I feel like a similarity in just, like, yeah, completely stopping all these control mechanisms that we have for ourselves and kind of stepping outside of that box and experiencing what life can be like outside of those rigid things that we hold ourselves to.
Yeah.
Although I'm very much back in that space and I love it, but
totally. It's hard for me. Like, I joke about being a controlling person, but, like, I'm incredibly controlling in my life. Like, not, like, for other people. I don't really care. Do what you want. But, like, when it comes to my life and my expectations of me, I am really controlling. So, like, to give it up, like, my nervous system legitimately freaked the fuck out. Because it was just, like, we have nothing.
Like, what are you doing?
I'm not kidding. Like, I'm so controlling with my food that, like, when I let myself have cereal for breakfast, I cried.
Mm.
Not because I was, like, sad, but because I was like, this is the best.
happy tears.
Happy tears. Okay. Because it had been so long since I wasn't controlling my food.
Mm.
Like, so as much as, like, I can come across as, like, very, like, carefree, don't care about my food, I was still very controlling in it. But, like, that's the thing, like, you don't even realize how tight the reins you have on your life are so that it doesn't fall apart.
Yeah.
But when you just, like, ask yourself, like, who am I doing this for? Like, who told me I needed to do this? Why am I doing this? And you just kind of, like, I don't recommend maybe stopping at all like I did. Like I said, I really like to jump off cliffs before I'm ready.
Mm.
And I did have to have an emergency session with my therapist because I was not coping well. And my nervous system really panicked. Because I went from, like I said, I went from that state of, like, being in freeze, from, like, choosing myself and setting all these boundaries and, like, and then I went to giving up every single control mechanism I have to create safety. And my nervous system was like, excuse me, ma'am. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not well. But, like, yeah, I'm not kidding. Like, I cried happy tears eating cereal for breakfast because I just had to trust myself that, like, I will eventually stop eating cereal. Not because I don't want it. Like, not because I can't have it anymore, but, like, I won't need to eat it as crazily as I did.
Did you not allow yourself to eat cereal for so long?
No. For, like, 5 years. Oh, no, wow. Like, 7 years. Once I became celiac.
Mm.
Or once I found out I didn't become celiac. Once I found out I was celiac, I just, like, was that celiac? No. Was it nutrition school? Was it that I, like, was obsessed with healthy eating for a really long time? And then, like, you just, yeah, no. I didn't ever let myself have cereal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what happened. It just became like a, yeah. Anyways, that's my point is, like, we get so far thinking that we're doing all these things because we like it, because we're busy, like, because it helps us. Does it help you actually? Because I feel way happier now not having this, like, pressure to meal prep, pressure to put my laundry away. Like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, that's okay. Like, worrying about, like, well, I can't go out with and do this tonight because I have to do this and X, Y, and Z, and just giving myself a little more space to, like, like, live freely and a little less in control of everything.
Like, not living your life totally revolved around those things.
Yeah. But, mm-hmm. like, it's hard. So when I, like, and those are all really positive things. And 2 months ago, I would have told you I loved those things. Mm-hmm. And that was just who I am and all of that stuff, right? Because I just woke up one day and was like, oh, I use this all for control, right? So mm-hmm. I think it's, like, it's this weird dance we do, right? Where I think we can tell ourselves that we love all these things because we've just ingrained it and we don't know what to do without it. But then, like, if you can let that space be exciting or fun and scary and terrifying and know, and, like, I think the biggest thing is, like, trust yourself enough to know that you'll still continue to take care of yourself. It's just going to look different. Mm-hmm. And it might not be in, like, the standard wellness industry way where, like, they tell you all these things that you have to do in order to be healthy, or the spiritual way, or all of those things. Like, what does all of that look like for you? What do you actually want to do? Instead of, like, what do you feel like you have to do to be this certain person? What do you actually want to do? Because, like, that's where your, like, authentic self lies.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't meet it if you're, like, constantly forcing the other direction.
Like, drop, like, you just have to drop the templates that society mm-hmm. kind of pushes on us yeah. and tells us this is what it yeah. should look like.
And it's hard because, like, I'm with you. Like you said, like, you're loving being back in the routine. 100%. Like, I get it mm-hmm. where I'm, like, but, like, now I can't even make myself do it. Mm-hmm. I'm so stubborn that once I realize I don't want to do something, there's no convincing me otherwise. Like, it's not mm-hmm. happening. So mm-hmm. it's interesting because I'll be like, I should go back to the gym this week. And there is nothing right now in the world that will get me back to the gym.
Do you think you'll ever go
back to the gym? Oh, for sure I will. Because I do love the gym. Yeah. Like, I'm an absolute gym bro. I love it. I still follow it. Like, all of that. But there's just something right now where I'm just like, no, I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and even now I'm like, I need to justify that I'm still working out and I'm still moving my body. Because movement is really important to me. But as far as that goes, right? So, like, I invite people to get curious. What routines do you have right now? Or, I don't know, it could be routines or, like, certain aspects of your life that you're, like, you're certain are just, like, they're so positive. Get curious about them. Because yeah. are they?
Like, what rituals do you adhere to religiously? Yeah. All these yeah. things. Yeah.
Because, like, for me, like, and I feel like you're the same, like, journaling in the morning. My morning routine is it's locked that one's staying. It's not
I know
changing.
That one works for me, so yeah. I'm keeping that one.
Yeah.
And but, like, I enjoy it.
That's my thing. Is, like, that yeah. genuinely brings, I feel sad when I miss it. Like, yeah, ask yourself kind of what, you know, what else in your life are you doing? And are you, like, are you actually doing it for you? And not to manipulate, I think especially for women, are you doing it for yourself or are you doing it to manipulate your body, convincing mm-hmm. yourself that it's for yourself? Because I think we get lost in that really easily when it comes to diet and fitness.
I think that one can actually be a really hard one to discern because we're so deep in that as a society yeah. as a whole.
Yes. I spent yeah. years teaching young girls about being in their worth and loving themselves and all of that kind of stuff. And I just realized after 8 years of doing that work that I was still doing it, that I was still adhering to all these rules because it gave me control of my body. It's so ingrained in us, mm-hmm. right? So it is hard to discern. Like, am I doing this because I truly enjoy, and there's, like, an in-between.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's, like,
I think we can still love ourselves and want to change our bodies. But it's also, like, yes. are we being rigid with the way we're approaching yeah. it?
It's the rigidity.
Welcome back.
Rigidity.
Yeah. Is Mercury retrograde after all.
Yeah. And a new moon. We always report yeah. on moon, actually. Not on purpose. It just always happens that way. I think, yeah, like, I don't want to shit on movement or the gym or any of that. Because, like I said, it is, I fucking love it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think all of those routines. I just, like, we go back to, like, that 2 weeks where you didn't do, you know, like, you I really did, just let yourself, right? And then look what happened, right? Like, when yeah. we, I think, give up those control mechanisms that are really hard to give up, it gives you space to actually explore yourself and mm-hmm. say, like, do I really enjoy this? Mm-hmm. And you might be surprised at what you find on the other side.
Yeah, and, like, when you, like, experiment with giving up the control, you kind of learn to love not being in control in some moments. Yeah. Like, it just, like, with me, even just this past yesterday, it was yesterday, I was severely hungover, and yeah. I did absolutely nothing all day, and the thought of doing nothing all day used to really scare me, and yeah. now I, like, lean into those days because I know it's not going to be every day where I do nothing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, yeah. I know that there's going to be action after it. Like, there's going to yeah. be momentum building after it, but, like, right now I'm fine with doing nothing because it's, like, I know it's not going to be forever.
Yeah. And I think, like, the longer you have controlled, the longer the period of when you're truly not doing anything is going to feel, right? Because the pendulum swings really hard, and you have to remember that. So as you're, like, panicking that you need to gain control back because you've lost it, you need to trust that it will come back to the middle, right? Like, if it's movement, you will move. If it's that you're going to not do the dishes, like, you will do the dishes. You will make your bed. You will do the laundry. You know how to take care of yourself. You have to trust that you will, right? But that is hard.
It all boils down to trust, honestly.
Yeah, it always
like
does.
Just self-trust is, like, the biggest pillar of growth that like really takes you through this journey.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's
a tough one to learn, though. It's
really
tough.
You'll learn it over and over and over and over and over again for the rest of your fucking life. That's been it.
That's our update. That's what we've been up to.
Just giving up control and learning to trust.
Ditching the rigidity, learning to be a little bit more flexible and accepting of ourselves in those low moments.
Yeah. And, like, really not being apologetic for, like, not doing shit you don't want to do. Like, just, that's fine. It's okay. Like, it's your life.
Amen, sister. Yeah. Cool.
All right. Well,
any last parting words of wisdom?
I think we're changing our schedule.
Yes.
We're going to do hopefully 2 episodes a month.
Yeah. So bi-weekly.
Yes. But maybe give up the rigidity on that because it is summer.
Maybe once a month. We'll see.
But thank you. If you tuned back in, thank you very much. We appreciate your patience as we got our shit together.
And any new listeners, welcome. We love you. And we're excited to get back on this journey with everyone. So.
With all the new learnings.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, bye.
Bye, guys.